ill, he goes into a trance. And in the trance, he sees himself in his spiritual form as a gopi. And he sees Radha and Krishna like go into a cave in Govardhan Hill. And one of the superior gopis asks him or her to collect some flowers for the divine couple. And just as he was engaged in the service of, or about to engage in the service of collecting the flowers, the other devotees caught up to Lord Chaitanya. It's like when he saw the sand dune, he began to rush towards it like a madman. So when the other devotees caught up to Lord Chaitanya, they started chanting, you know, and trying to bring him to external consciousness. But there are actually three stages of consciousness, according to the scripture. There's antardasha, which is internal consciousness, where the devotee, again in the stage of bhava bhakti, actually sees Krishna in his eternal pastimes, and he sees himself in his eternal spiritual identity in service to Krishna in Krishna's pastimes. Then there's bahirdasha, which is external consciousness, where one is like fully aware of the world around him. And then there's antarbahirdasha or ardhabahirdasha, which means partially external consciousness. So when one goes into trance or into internal consciousness, the first stage of coming out is, you know, what you would say partial external consciousness. So when the devotees woke, you know, brought, you know, like tried to bring Lord Chaitanya into consciousness, he first came into ardhabahirdasha, partial external consciousness. And he was saying, you know, why have you brought me here? You know, I was with Radha and Krishna at Govardhan Hill. That's when he told the whole story of what he had just experienced. You know, I went to Govardhan and Radha and Krishna entered a cave, and one of the gopis asked me to collect flowers for them, and I was just about to collect the flowers, and now you all have brought me here. And that's when the devotee feels like the most intense separation. You know, that I was with Radha and Krishna, now you, why have you brought me here? Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? Like the mood of Lord Chaitanya in separation, or the mood of the six Goswamis in separation. Then he came to bahirdasha, external consciousness. Then he felt ashamed that, oh, you know, what have I said? And he, like, resumed his composure. He felt ashamed. So, so many of the poems of the Goswamis, for example, are written at least as we've heard, from, you know, after the experience of antardasha, where they actually get a glimpse, and then they allude to what they experience and then they express their separation and their aspiration to serve in the position in which they had the glimpse of service. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when one leaves the body, you know, at the time of death, when one leaves the body, in the case of Vraja Bhakti, you know what? Vraja Bhakti means devotional service to Krishna in Vrindavan, which has a different mood from devotional service to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. Like you might remember during Kartik when I spoke about Damodarastakam, that in Vaikuntha the mood is on reverence. All the devotees are conscious of the Lord's opulences, majesty. So they serve him in the mood of awe and reverence as servants in Dasyaras. And some of them may serve him in reverential friendship, which is, it's like Sakyaras mixed with Dasyaras. But in Vrindavan, the devotees forget that Krishna is God, and they just love him as the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj. And their love for Krishna is actually more powerful than the love of the devotees for Narayan in Vaikuntha. And, you know, their love is so powerful, and their desire to serve Krishna is so strong that they want to serve him as a friend, you know, or as a parent, or as a lover. And so they forget that Krishna is God, because if they were aware that he was God, they couldn't serve him with such freedom and intimacy, which actually pleases Krishna more than the reverential prayers and worship of the devotees in awe and reverence. And their love is so powerful that Krishna himself forgets that he's God, and he actually feels that he's the son of Nanda and Yasoda and dependent on their protection and nourishment. So when one leaves the physical body and goes to Vraj, he first will take birth on the planet where Krishna is displaying his pastimes in the material world. It's like we know that Krishna came to Earth 5,000 years ago and displayed his pastimes here, the same pastimes that he manifests eternally in the spiritual world. So, after he completes his pastimes here, he carries his pastimes to another universe and begins his pastimes there. So after leaving the physical body, you know, the realized devotee will take birth in the universe, you know, take birth, you know, in the womb of a gopi, in the universe where Krishna is manifesting his pastimes. And generally, he will begin, or she, because he might, well, of course, she might have been in a physical body of a woman also, but even if he was in the physical body of a man, but his, when he enters the pastimes of Krishna, he may have the spiritual body of a woman. So, let's say he now has the body of a woman. So, you know, in the body of a woman, and I will refer to him as her, she, you know, the young gopi, will first hear of Krishna from a distance. One doesn't just, like, immediately enter into intimate association with Krishna, but one will hear of Krishna from a distance, from the other devotees who are intimately associated with Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna, not as God, but just hearing about Krishna, you know, as the beautiful son of Nanda, the devotee will become attracted and develop within her heart the aspiration to meet Krishna, serve Krishna. And then gradually, you know, the other devotees who are more, who are already established in their direct service to Krishna will bring the newer devotee closer to Krishna and eventually introduce the devotee to Krishna. And then, anyway, that's the basic process.
Okay. That's one of the first stages after entering the spiritual world. I mean, I'm not sure I understand.
No, for one life,
yeah,
one serves Krishna in his pastimes in the material world.
In the material universe, where Krishna,
yeah,
is.
They're the same pastimes, but one goes through a process of coming closer to Krishna, you know, and then. Then in the next life, one, so to speak, takes birth in the spiritual world.
Okay. So, in the birth, in the universe where Krishna is, in his pastimes, how does that material life compare to material life here? I mean, is there still birth, old age, disease, and death? Or do you go from that material universe into the spiritual universe through some other process? I'm not sure that I'm asking that question clearly. I mean, here, to go to the next life, we have to go through this process of old age and death.
No, they don't have that.
Okay.
They don't have that.
So,
it's just like when Krishna comes to the material world, he's in a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual body resembles the material body, but still the body is spiritual and it's not subject to birth, material birth, disease, old age, and death.
Mm-hmm. Is the body that we have in association with Krishna in that universe the same way? It doesn't age?
Yeah, when we take birth on the planet where Krishna is displaying his pastimes,
mm-hmm.
and we serve Krishna, we serve him in our spiritual body. We don't serve him in his material body. You can't serve Krishna you can't serve Krishna intimately in a physical mm-hmm. body.
Okay. Okay, so that is a spiritual planet then. The being born in being born as a gopi, you're in a spiritual planet. Or that still is a material planet in the universe where Krishna is has come to.
No, it's spiritual.
Okay.
It's like Vrindavan on Earth is spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but it's visible to conditioned souls.
Okay.
And they will see it according to their advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
But for one who is advanced enough, they can see that it is the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm. This information is given to us in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna's pastimes when he was here. But, and there's some, especially in the there's some hints of what I've said there, but the science has been elaborated in the books of the Goswamis. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, mm-hmm. They've elaborated the science. And then after them, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Mm-hmm. So, because Jiva Goswami didn't mean to neglect him, or any of the Goswamis.
Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada is translating each of these works?
Well, he has translated Chaitanya Charitamrita and given a summary study of the Nectar of Devotion, of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the form of the Nectar of Devotion. But there are other books that give more details.
Mm-hmm.
And now the BBT has started to publish the translation of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And just now I got the copy of the second volume.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get more details from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the next Gopi Puranadana Prabhu intends, well, he's already working on the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. And then there will be like more philosophical discussions there with references to various scriptures, you know, with support from various scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vast body of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you ask, like, is it in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a lot in Srimad Bhagavatam that we cannot get on our own. But there are elaborate commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam that, again, which draw references from other scriptures, which...
Mm-hmm.
Help that us what, to explain more.
Were the Goswamis, the six Goswamis, commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam in their writing?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've written commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. But then in separate books, they'll give references to Srimad Bhagavatam as well.
Any more questions?
There's one nice description in Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Gopakumar, the sort of the hero of the story. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita traces his development to the stage that he actually goes to Vrindavan. And it describes how he arrives there at in the late afternoon, and you know the village is deserted. You know, he gets there and he wonders, where is everyone? And then finally he discovers that they're on the outskirts of the town waiting for Krishna to return from the pasturing grounds with the cowherd boys and cows, and they're all like transfixed, just looking at the horizon and then seeing the first signs of dust being kicked up by the hooves of the calves, and and you know, gradually they see Krishna in an ecstatic mood, and then you know, Krishna gets closer and closer, and then finally he sees Gop Kumar, and he embraces him, like, you know, where have you been for so long? You know, I've been missing you and waiting for you. And, you know, Krishna is feeling so much ecstatic love for Gop Kumar that he faints. And Gop Kumar also faints in ecstatic love for Krishna. It sort of gives an idea of how, you know, and then, anyway, it sort of gives the idea of how the soul progresses in Krishna consciousness to the point that he actually enters the pastimes of Krishna. It explains how Gop Kumar, you know, like fits into one of the households in Vrindavan, how he's given some service. He's in Sakyarasana, but he's able to see, anyway, it's just, it's very vivid. It's very vivid. And, you don't get the same degree of detail in Srimad Bhagavatam, although by definition Brihad Bhagavatamrita is like, you know, the nectar of the Bhagavatam. It's the same, but it's more elaborated and more expanded. Mm-hmm.
This question was, the Bhagavatamrita, is it considered by the tradition to be a historical account?
Well, there are different versions. No. One version is that it existed eternally, and that Srila Sanatana Goswami cognized it, recorded it. You know, I would say that personally I feel more comfortable with that idea. You know, the other idea is that he took the principles of the Bhagavatam and wrote a story that illustrated them.
The tradition has both opinions.
Well, the tradition is not monolithic.
Right. But you can find both opinions within the tradition. There's no consensus.
Well, I don't know, because I haven't really I've heard both opinions, let's put it that way. I mean, I don't know if the second opinion would be accepted by our line of principal acharyas. But I have heard the second opinion expressed by Gaudiya Vaishnava. Well, we have our goal chalked out for us, and our path chalked out for us. And it's a long and exhilarating journey.